Ezra's Hashem Yisparech. Today's daf is Kuf Mem Beis in Maseches Shabbos, the 204th daf in Shas. We begin Perek Notel, which is on the bottom of Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The halachos of Perek Notel. Notel is the shortest Perek in Maseches Shabbos. We'll get through it by Shabbos. And that discusses the halachos of Muktzah. Some of the most important halachos of Muktzah we already began at the end of Perek Tolin, with the Mishnah of Hakash El Gabe Mita, and we continue on with some of those themes as well, which will eventually bring us in today's daf to Truma as well, and then back to some of the important halachos of Bosis for Muktzah. Since we mentioned Bosis, the halacha is that if a person places something on a base, in such a case, the base becomes Muktzah as well. Our Mishnah discusses the most fascinating base of all, and that is what happens if one has a child who is the base for the Muktzah. Says the Mishnah, Notel Adam Espeno Va'Evan B'Yada, V'Kalkola Va'Evan B'Socha. A person is allowed to carry their child, and there is a stone in his hand. Or another instance, the child is holding a basket, and the basket has a stone inside of it. Then, mitaltlin, you're allowed to carry the child. The Gemara will flesh out why that's so. Rashi, of course, points out that we're not talking about in Rishus HaRam. That would be a problem of Hotzah. Our Perek, as we mentioned, is discussing halachos of Muktzah. Truma Temeya, Im HaTaora V'Im HaChulin. What about another case? You've got a basket of Truma that is Tame, which of course is Muktzah, because it needs to be burned, with Truma that's Tar, which also has Chulin. So, in such a case as well, a person is allowed to carry it. Once the Mishnah has begun to discuss the halachos of carrying Truma, the Mishnah tells us one other Chiddush, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Imer Af Malanes HaMeduma Be'echad Umeya. One also may remove one part of Truma from a mixture of 100 parts. The Gemara will explain that we don't say that this is considered as if he is fixing it. Of course, you cannot eat Truma if you're a Zar. That makes the entire concoction prohibited. Nevertheless, by removing it, you're making it edible. Nevertheless, the Gemara will explain to us why the halacha is that it's permitted. The Gemara begins by analyzing the halachos first of Hotzah, of carrying a child and carrying something else, and eventually we will come back to some of the halachos of Muktzah. Amar Rava, Rava taught us, Hotzi tinechai v'kis tolui bitzavaro. If someone takes out a child that's alive, and the child has wrapped around it a wallet that's hanging from his neck. In those days, just like today, it's relatively common that some people, especially when they're traveling, hang a cell phone around their neck. So too, with a brand name band. So too, in those days, they used to hang a wallet around their neck, particularly for a child who's more likely to lose it. Chayim mishum kis. Then you're over on Hotzah vis-a-vis the kis. Not for the tinuk, Rashi explains, because the Gemara eventually will bring out the idea of chai nose es atzmo, that a living child carries himself a little bit, and therefore one will not be chayiv. This was elaborated on in detail, particularly in Tosas as well, on Daf Tzadi Dalid, with Tosas Dibra Maschil Shechai and Dibra Maschil Aval Adam. Either way, you're going to be chayiv and kis. Tinok meis v'kis tolu lo b'tzavaro. If the child is, God forbid, dead, and there is a kis, so then patur. The Gemara will explain why you're patur as well on tzavaro as well. Tinok chay v'kis tolu lo b'tzavaro. Chayiv mishum kis. The Gemara now asks, why v'li chayiv nam mishum tinok? Why are you not chayiv also on the kid? And the Gemara gives the svara that we mentioned before. Rava Krebi Nosan Svirlei, da Omar Chai Nosei Etzatzmo, that he follows that opinion, which is an opinion that's generally followed the halacha as well, then min haTorah you'll not be chayiv on carrying a live child because of chay nosev tzatzma. Asks the Gemara, then if that's so, why is it that you're chayiv on the kiss? V'livatel kiss l'gabei tinok. Let us say that the kiss becomes batel to the child. Milo tanan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, esachay b'mita potter afal mita shahamita tfeilalo? That the halacha is that if you carry out a live person on a mita, you won't be chayiv, because the mita becomes batel to live person, and on the live person you say chay nosev tzatzma. So the same thing you should say on the bed. Answers the Gemara, mita legabe chai mevatale. When it comes to a mita by the live person, and it's batel to him, it's secondary to him. Kiss legabe tinok lo mevatale. However, the kiss vis-a-vis the child isn't considered batel. Now we analyze the next part, three lines from the bottom. Tinok meis v'kis tolu lo betzavaro. We learned that if the child is dead and there is a kiss around his neck, one is going to be potur. Asks the Gemara, v'lichayiv mishum tinok, why won't we be mechayiv him for the tinok? You can no longer say that chay nose es atzmo. Answers the Gemara, Rava k'Rabbi Shimon Svirle. Rava is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Da amar kol melacha she'ein tzricha legufa patur aleha. Any melacha that you're not doing for a positive result, but to remove a negative. Rashi explains on Sadi Gimel on the Beis that if you're removing a dead body, it's because you don't want it in the house. And therefore, you're not creating something positive, but just something negative. So then in such a case, Rabbi Shimon holds you're going to be potter. So it's following the opinion of melacha shein tzricha legufa is going to be potter. The Gemara continues two lines from the bottom. Tana noitel adam es penoivo even biyadoi, that a person is allowed to carry his son and a rock in his hand. Now we begin to analyze this from the perspective of mukta, and the Gemara now asks the following question on what we had said before. Now we bring in our Mishnah, and that is, explains Rashi, if we allow you to carry the child, despite the fact that there is a davar mukta in his hand, so then we consider the item in his hand as not only secondary, but insignificant. If that's so, asks the Gemara, how could it be that we were mechayev you beforehand on carrying the child with the kiss in the case of Rava? How could Rava say that he's chayiv? Answers the Gemara, Ami devei Rabbi Yane, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yane, they taught betinok sheyeshel gaguin al aviv. We're talking about a child that wants to be carried by his father. Rashi explains that this is so severe that it stands as a sakana. Let's take a look at Rashi. Betinok sheyeshel gaguin al aviv, shim yitlenu Yichla. If the father is going to leave him alone, then he will get sick. V'lo amidu tiltul shlo b'yadayim makom sakana. And they didn't put in place the iser of tiltul shlo b'yadayim in the place of sakana. In other words, there isn't an iser because there's a sakana. However, it's not a full-fledged sakana, explains Rashi. It's not sakanas nefashos mamish, but some type of Choli. The Achronim tried to explain what type of category this is. Either way, that's the difference between the case in our Mishnah where we allow it versus the case in Rava's discussion where we say there's an Isur D'Oraisa. Amid ve'Rabbi Yam Tisho Sheish Lo Gaguin Alav asks the Gemara, Yochi Mai Irya Evan Afilu Dinar Nami. Why did they choose specifically a stone? It should have even been a dinar. The same halacha should have been taught. Why did Rava say that a stone is going to be permitted, but a dinar is going to be asur? You might be hearing now noise in the background that Baruch Hashem, it's a beautiful day on Yud Beis Adar, where outside here in Eretz Yisrael, there is the sounds of collecting of Matanos Lavyonim with music and so on in the background. So that's the Gemara's Teretz of Lo Shanu Ela Evan. Aval Dinar is going to be Aser. Why? Evan Inaf Lo La, the Gemara explains, Lo Asi Avu Yilisuye. When it comes to an Evan, if it falls out, we're not afraid that the father is going to come to carry it. Dinar inafel ase avui lisuye. But a dinar, if it falls, the father is going to come to carry it. Tanya kavase de Rava. We learned according to Rava, hamotzi kelav mikupalim umunachim al ksefa. Somebody takes out. The Gemara now brings a brisa which supports the idea that if you carry out, as Rava had spoken, with a child holding something around his neck, that you'll be chayiv, and that's an isur doraisa. So we have another brisa that's like this. Tanya kavase de Rava hamotzi kelav mikufalim umunachim al ksefav. If a person carries out clothing that are folded up or on his shoulder, v'sandola v'tabasa biyado, or he's carrying sandals or rings, chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv. V'mayu melubash behem potter, he's going to be potter. Hamotzi adam v'kelim olav, v'sandola v'biragla v'tabasa biyado, potter. V'ilu hotzi kemo shehein, chayiv. If you carry out a person who's holding on to these things in their hand, you're going to be chayiv. If he's wearing them, they're potter. So we see by carrying someone who's carrying something else, you can be chayiv. We continue analyzing our Mishnah, 8 lines from the top. Kilkalava evan besocha, that we had learned that if you have a basket and a rock is inside, so the halacha is that someone who carries it, that he's going to be. Continuing on to analyze in the Mishnah with the noise of Purim in the background, Kilkalava evan besocha, if one carries a basket and a rock inside of it, so the halacha is that we said in our Mishnah that it's okay because you are carrying both the basket and the rock and you're not entirely carrying muktza. Asks the Gemara, wait a second, you're carrying entirely muktza. V'amai t'avi kilkala basis l'davar aser. We should consider the basket a base for a davar aser. When we introduced the Mishnah, we spoke about the idea that if you have a davar muktza, it was put on Erev Shabbos onto a base, then the base also becomes muktza. V'amai t'avi kilkala basis l'davar aser. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Hocha b'kilkala melea peres haskinan. We're talking about a basket that's full of fruits. So it's what the poskim call a potsis l'davar aser l'davar amutter, and therefore it's permissible to carry it. Asks the Gemara, v'lishdinu l'piri v'nishdei l'evin. Now this question is very, very important for the poskim in halacha l'maisa, and that is that the Gemara asks, well, empty the basket, knock over the basket, and then just take the fruits and put it back into the basket and leave the rock, v'nishdinu b'yadayim, and carry the peros biyadayim. Answers the Gemara, you can't do this, kid Rabbi Lo Amar Rav. In this case, it was impossible, peros hamitanfin, that Rabbi Lo Amar Rav spoke about a case where the fruits become ruined. Mitunaf means dirty. Hachanam peros hamitunafim, we're afraid that the fruits are going to become dirty. So here we see from the poskim, the lechatchil, that the poskim point out, lechatchil, one should do this. Similarly, asks the Gemara, v'lin arinu ne'ure, but let's just shake off the rock. We're talking about a case where the rack was actually in the place of one of the walls in the basket. It was being used as a wall, and therefore that solution can't be done. And we're talking about a basis l'davar aser u'l'davar amutter, as we said before. The poskim, as we mentioned, derived from our Gemara that l'chatchila one cannot carry this basis, even if it's a davar aser or a davar amutter, if one does not have the opportunity, if one has the opportunity to shake it off, that lechatchila, it should be shaken off. Finally, in our Mishnah, we had also seen metalton truma tamea im hatorev imachun, even though the truma that's tamei, of course, requires to be burnt. Amar of Chodes, the Rav Chizda taught loyshanu elishin tohiru lamato tamei lamalu. We're only talking about where the tar is below and the tmei is above. If you could simply remove, then don't be metalta, what some posts can call tultul minatzad, if you're also carrying the tmeya, that would not be acceptable. That's only if it's bidiyavad, like we saw previously in the above Gemara as well, that lechatchila one should shake them off, if possible. Asks the Gemara, v'chi tahor l'matanam l'shtinu v'naktinu. Well, let's shake everything off and let it all fall to the ground, and then be able to just take the truma tahora as well as the chulin and not be metaltal truma tmeya. Amar Rabbi Loi, Amar Rav, the peres hametunafin askin, and similar to what we said in the Gemara above, that the fruits are going to get dirty. Frek the Heilig Gemara may see the metaltal truma tmeya matar bimachulin bein shetor lemalu tmeya lemata bein shetmeya lemalu tor lemata. We got a brisa that says Beferish not this way. The Beferish brisa says that the halacha is that if you have the opportunity to carry them, even if the truma tmeya is on top or on bottom, in either way it's going to be permissible, despite what we had seen before, that lechatchila one should try to separate the two and not rely until tumen atzad on truma tmeya. So that's a kashan ruchizda, question mark. I'm lecha ruchizda, masnisin letzarech gufo, Braisa Litzarich Mikomo. Chizda gives the following solution. He says that it depends on what the instance we're talking about. If we're talking about where you need the place, so then in such a case, the only way it's going to be problematic is if you're going to move the Truma Treya directly. In this case, you cannot shake off the Truma Tmeya. Shaking off the Truma Tmeya is not going to help you because you need the place. And if you need the place, so then in such a case, Letzarech Mekomo, you'd be allowed to do Tiltum Min Atzad. However, if you don't need the place, but you're just trying to get to the fruits, so then in such a case, there's no problem to shake it off. And that's why in our Mishnah, Rav Chizda taught that the halacha is that lechatchila is supposed to shake it off. But the Braisa, that wasn't an option. Asks the Gemara, my dukid Rav Chizda k'masrisan tsarakufo, but why did Rav Chizda create the situation and say, no, our Mishnah is only talking about where you can't shake it off. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about where you need the place of tsarach mekomo, and then in such a case, you'd be able to shake it off. Rava masnisan kava se daika. Rava says that our Mishnah fits into those words of Rav Chizda that we're only talking about an instance where he needed it for the fruits, but he didn't need the actual paste. The Ketani Seifa, because we have a similar case in the Seifa, Mo'os Shel Akar. If there's money on top of a pillow, Menares Akar Vehe Noflos. You're allowed to shake off the money off of the pillow. And there, the only time there's a requirement to shake it off is if you need the pillow. But if you need the place, then you're allowed to move the pillow and shake off the money over there and then take the pillow back to the bed. And if we're going to say that the safe is talking about where you need the pillow and you can't shake it off in that place, the Reisha is also talking about where you needed the pillow, but you don't need that place, and therefore we taught that the halacha is that one should shake it off. And once we learned that the sefer of the Mishnah is talking about letzarech gufo, then presumably the Reisha is talking about letzarech gufo. Hence, Rav Chizda said what he had said, where Rav Chizda said that lechatchila one's supposed to shake it off right away. We continue analyzing the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Malines Hameduma Be'echad Umeya, that one is allowed to take out Truma, which is one of 100th of Truma amongst Chulin. In the background is now, after the shops closed on Erev Shabbos before Purim, there are parades of cars going and blaring music and announcements for Matanis Levyonim. So that's what you hear in the background. The Gemara asks, Va'amai hokom misakein. The Gemara asks, at the end of the day, he is being misakein. How can you take out the 1/100th of Truma? At the end of the day, he's making this taruvos, which was inedible. Says the Gemara, Yehuda k'Rabbi Eliezer svirlei. He follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Damar Truma be'ina machta. That we look at the Truma as being sitting. Machta here means like to sit. Be'en, by itself. It's in one group by itself. We don't look at it as mixed out throughout the Taruvas. The Snan, as we learned in Truma's Perikei Mishnah Vav, saw Truma, shenafla lefachos mimeya, if there is one saw of Truma that falls into 100, v'nidmu'u, and that became mixed up, v'nafal menduba mokamacher, Rabbi Eliezer oimer midamas kitrumas vadai. Rabbi Eliezer says that we treat the mixture as vadai. That means that in the new mixture, we look at it as if there was
a full amount of truma that fell in, because we don't look at the truma from the first taruvos as being simply something from a mixture of truma and chulin. Rather, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we look at it as if it came a full measure of truma. There was no chulin that fell into the second taruvos. So therefore, in such a case, you have to make a cheshbon as if there was, let's say there was a pound of fruits that had fallen from the first taruvus and the second taruvus. We have to assume that there was a pound of truma that fell into the second taruvus. And then the halacha of truma is that if there's 100 times, so if there's more than 100 pounds, then it will be mevatel. The chacham morim eina medua midamea elafi cheshbon. While the chachamim say that you have to take a cheshbon, the chacham here are a leniency, and they say you measure the percentage in the first taruvus. Let's say there was 100 pounds in the previous taruvus, and 1 pound came out. So that means there was originally 1 pound of truma in the first mixture. So then that means you only have to cheshbon 1/100th of a pound of taruvus. So what do we see from here? We see that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that is machmir when it comes to a double mixture of truma now could serve as a leniency, because Rabbi Eliezer says we view it as if it's an entirely distinct entity within the first taruvus. Asks the Gemara, and therefore, before we get to the Gemara's question, spell out now the Gemara's pshat. So therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not really being misaking the original taruvos like in our Mishnah when you take out that amount, because we view that amount of truma as if it stood by its side, and you're not being masakein the chulin. Asks the Gemara, Emer the Shamisle, the chumra, the kula mishamisle. Wait, Rabbi Eliezer was a chumra that you view it as if a full pound of truma had fallen into the other mixture, and not 1/100th of a pound. However, now you're using it as a leniency. You're saying you're not being misakin. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer only said this as a chumrah, not as a kula. Ella, rather the Gemara says, our Tana that says that you could take out the mixture of truma and chulin, who the Amrik Rabbi Shimon is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. It's not as we learn in Mishnah, saw truma shenaflu lemea. There was a saw of truma that fell into 100 saw. Lo hispik lagbia, ad shenaflu acheres harezu asura. The halacha is that the two combine together, and we consider it as if there were two saws of truma that fell into 100. Now, of chulin. Now, if there's only one saw that falls into 100 of chulin, that's the rule of thumb, that one saw of chulin becomes batel in 100. Of course, two will not, because then it will be 1/50th of truma to chulin, and that would be problematic. However, if we look at the first saw that fell in, as the Mishnah Truma Perek Hey Mishnah Ches describes, as being batel, and then another one falling in to chulin, so then in such a case, you could use that process of bittel twice. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. For Rabbi Shimon matter, Rabbi Shimon says permissible, Tanna Kamma says it's problematic. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, that we say that it's automatically batel, so what's the reason that it's batel? Maybe because we view the first one as being separate and distinct from the second. That is, as Rashi explains, 3 lines in the bottom, what Rabbi Shimon's argument is in the Hava Amina of the Gemara. If we look at it as separate and distinct, then what we're saying is that we never look at the Truma as diffused throughout the Taruvos of Chulin. If that would be so, then you would be allowed to take it out on Shabbos, as our Mishnah had suggested. Asks the Gemara, Mimai, how do you know that's the Svar Rabbi Shimon? Dilma Hasan Bahakam Miflugi. Maybe over there what's going on is there's another machlokus. Nothing to do with whether we consider the Truma Be'en or not. The Tanakama Sava, the Tanakama holds, Afal Gav the Naflu Bazacha Zek Man the Naflu Basachas Dami, that we combine the 2 pounds of Truma that fell into the 100 pounds of Chulin, and therefore, of course, it's not going to be Basel. Batel. V'halacham shenafla, v'halacham shenafla. And each one fell into only 50, and therefore it's going to be batel. Rabbi Shimon saw, Rabbi Shimon has a very important rule in Hilchos Taruvas, kamaisa batel mimea, v'ha ti batel b'meya v'chad. That when you had the first truma that fell into 100, it became batel, and we consider now 101 of chulin because it's diffused throughout. And then if you have another pound that falls in, so then it fell into mevachad, it'll also be batel. But that machlokis is not going to help us over here, because even if we're going to say that it becomes batel, nevertheless, at the end of the day, you should still be stuck to be able to take out truma to be masakin, a mixture that has 1 in 100, as was suggested by Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that at the end of the day, you're doing a tikkun of the taruvas. Ella, rather, we could explain Rabbi Yehuda differently. Huda Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He's following Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The same Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, I mean, noisen eino bitzet zeh, va'ochel mitzad acher. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is of the opinion that if you have a dimua, if you have a mixture, the halachi is that you don't have to actually scoop it out. But rather, to separate, all you have to do is say, this, which sits on this side, those who are familiar with the present girsa of Hafrasha's Truma from the Chazon Ish will notice this lashon of mitzad echad, that you're putting, or mitzad acher, that you're putting it on the side, and therefore you're not actually taking it out, and hence, in such a case, if there is no tikkun, maise tikkun, that he's doing. Asks the Gemara, well, is that acceptable? Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that you could do hafrasha by being no sein einov bitzad zeh, va'ochel mitzad acher. Is that acceptable? Misavar l'kavaseh, va'miflig polig ilavei. Rabbi Shimon's shita was extremely controversial. Not to have to do an actual hafrasha, but just to say ki'ilu that you put on the side. That's machlokis. The same Rabbi Yehuda Omer, malanes hameduba be'echad umeir. Rabbi Shimon Elazar no sein einov bitzad zeh, va'ochel mitzad acher. That we saw that Rabbi Yehuda did not accept it. And not only was it stab that Atana didn't accept it, it was Rabbi Yehuda himself who did not accept it. So that svara that was advanced by Rabbi Shimon is not accepted by Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara explains, no, that's not why Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. Rabbi Shimon had suggested that when you have this phenomenon in Shabbos, you should be nosein einov bitzad zeh va'ochel mitzad acher. Rabbi Yehuda did not disagree with that power. However, Rabbi Yehuda suggested that you should do it on Shabbos itself by taking it out. The Rabbi Yehuda adifam the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda allowed for an even greater tikkun to actually take it out. Ah, you're being masakin. So here Rashi explains the Rabbi Yehuda was more makel than Rabbi Shimon. And he says since you could do Rabbi Shimon's process of nasan einov bitzadze velecho bitzadze, so that no longer is the process of taking out a tikkun, and hence to presumably save from a later mikshal where a person might come to actually eat the truma himself, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah had told us that you're allowed to take it out. It's not considered a tikkun because yachal lital einov bitzad zeh could be mafresh on one side, v'eichel mitzad acher. Bezer Hashem, we begin a new Mishnah, 6 lines from the top on Kuf Mem Beis on the Beis, that goes back to the halachos of Muktzah. Another important Mishnah in the halachos of Muktzah. Even al piachavis, if there is a stone that's sitting on top of a barrel, mata al tzido vihino felas, his first choice should always be to knock it off from the side and it fall down. This is corroborated by what we had seen on the Gemara on Amud Aleph, that the Gemara had told us on Amud Aleph already, that if you have a basket that has fruits inside with a stone, the best thing would be to knock it a little bit from the side and the stone fall off if that's a viable option. So that's what our mission suggests as well over here. If there's a stone on top of the barrel, matal tzido vihino felas. Hoysa bein achavuyos, if it was between the barrels. In other words, you can't knock off the stone because it will fall onto another barrel and either just you won't accomplish anything or even worse, it'll damage the barrel. Either way, you cannot knock it off. So then tilt it to a side, not just simply mata al tzida, but magbia, pick it up to somewhere and then slide it off. Vino fellas. Similarly, Moshal Akar, if there's money on top of a pillow, Menaris Akar Vehinoflos. So then, same thing, knock it off without even moving it at all. The post can then say, of course, that if you can't, because you need to sleep on that bed, then you'd be allowed to pick up the pillow. Hoysa Love. If there was feces from a chicken, Mikancho Bismartut, it is permissible to clean the pillow by using a rag to wipe it off. However, notice, as Rashi explains, that you cannot use water, because we have a rule that when it comes to a garment that is an absorbent, so then in such a case, shriyaso b'mayim hu kibuso, by simply soaking in the water, one could be over the iser of malabin, of cleaning, which makes the next line of the Mishnah explainable. Haisa shel or, if it's made of leather, noisten alel mayim ad shetechale, so then in such a case, you're allowed to put it into water, because an or is not an absorbent, it's not considered a bar kibus, as Rashi explains. So our Mishnah is teaching us different challenges that one might have, either with mukzah or something that's a davar mos, and how one deals with them. Ravuna Amarav tells us an important rule that the Gemara already had made reference to earlier on Kuf Chaf Hei Amabez. Amar Ravuna Amarav Lo Shanu Ela Bishocheach. The only time you're going to be allowed to move this rock with a barrel, in other words, when you have the rock sitting on top of the barrel, as our Mishnah had stated, is Ela Bishocheach, if he forgot and he left it on the barrel. Avol b'meiniach, but if he left it there intentionally, naseh bosses l'davar, also the barrel becomes a bosses, and one is going to be stuck. This we spelled out in the sugya on Kuf Chaf Hei Mebeis, as well as the halacha from the daily daf at that time. Haiseh bein hachavios. If it's between the barrels, we said, where you're stuck and you're not going to be able to simply knock it off, you'll have to move it and then knock it off. Man tana de kol hecha deika isura vehetera, behetera tarchinon, beisura lo tarchinon. Who is the tana that suggested this solution, which is based on the idea that you're allowed to do something and to be matriach, to go out of your way for the barrel, but you can't act directly on the davar mukta itself, you can't be toreach on the rock, be isura lo tarchin. Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, the Snan, as we learned in Maseches Beitza Yudalan Amen Beis, Habayra Kidneyus Be Yomtif, someone who selects between legumes on Yomtif, there are some legumes and there are either chaff or other legumes that you don't want. Beishamay Omer Bar Ochel V'Ochel, Beishamay says you're allowed to take the Ochel, Ubeisil Omer Bar Kedarko Bechekoi Uvetamchoi. Beisil says, since on Yomtif it's Ochel Nefesh, Beis Hillel says we're not worried about the Isser of Borer, because he's doing it to be able to eat that day, and therefore you could take the Isser out as well. That's Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he has a third interesting opinion. V'tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Bamedvar Mamurim Sho'ochel Merubal Apsolos, Al Apsolos Merubal Ochel, Divri Akol Borer Ochel. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is always concerned that you shouldn't spend more time on the selective process. So it depends. If there's a lot of psolas, then choose the ochel. If there's a lot of ochel, then choose the psolas. Va'ahacha, and over here, dechi ochel meruba al psolas dami, says the Gemara. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, spend less time on the isur. But that is only assuming that we're viewing this as ochel meruba al psolas, and that's the reason that you can't touch the psolas. So over here, who says that we view it as ochel meruba al psolas? I would understand if you were going to say that where you have a case of where you have a lot of barrels and you have one rock, a lot of rocks and one barrel. So then in such a case, we would say, don't touch the rock, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, and move the barrels. But over here, you've got one barrel and one rock. So why is Reb Shimon Gamliel's shita relevant? Says the Gemara, hachanami, no, here too. Kivan di boy le mishkal, lo mishtaka lo yayin, adishakale le even, kipsolas meruba lo ochel dami. The even is blocking the access to the wine. And it's blocking a tremendous amount of ochel. And therefore, we consider this rock as a tremendous amount of psolas. If a person would simply remove the rock, Rashi explains, Tosis will give a different explanation, if one is going to simply take the rock away, you're still going to have to take that barrel and lift it to be able to remove it amongst the other barrels, to be able to move it and be able to tip it. And therefore, it's considered like psoles meruba ala ochel, and therefore it's going to be acceptable. Hachanami, back inside. Kivin liboy lemishka lo mishtakel leyayin adeshakel leeven. You're only going to be able to move the wine by moving the rack. Kipsoles meruba ala ochel dami. It's considered as if the rack is a psoles meruba ala ochel. It's impeding everything, because eventually you're going to have to move the barrel as well. In other words, at the end of the day, you'll end up having to do as much tircha of psoiles meruba ala oichel. Tosis points out that Rashi himself, when he read the Gemara, had to take out the words adeshakel le'evin. Kivan deboy lemishka lo mishtakel le'yayin. You would not, even after you take it away, you won't be able to get the wine out. Kipsoles meruba ala oichel dami. Tosis says that the entire wine is turned into psoles. He gives a different pshat than Rashi. He says, we view the entire wine as being psoles because it's being blocked by the evin, and it transforms it into psoles. Take a look at Tosis. But the conventional pshat, the Daf Yomi pshat, we generally try to stay with Rashi. And Rashi says that since at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to move the wine anyhow, so then, in terms of Tircha Yisera, the Tircha Yisera is to remove the rack and then having to remove the barrel. I might as well move the barrel right off the bat. In our Mishnah, we had said, Haisa Achavios Magbia. If it was Bein Achavios, so then in such a case, Magbia, you need to lift it amongst the barrels. Tain Reb Yossi Amar Haisa Achavis Muneches Baotzer, O Shahi Kli Zechuches. If it was sitting in a storage house, or there were glass utensils around, menuchin tachteha magbia lemakom acher matal tzid avino fellas. If by causing the rock to fall, it'll fall on glass utensils and break them, so then again you can move it to another place, and then it falls off. And notably, menu mashit sarach lo masir lemakomo, and then you're allowed to take as much wine out and put it back in its place. Three lines into the Y, the Kuf Mem Beis Amar Beis Moshe Akar. If there's money on top of a pillow, Amar Ruchia Barashi Amar Rav Loi Shanu Ela B'Shecheach. Again, like we learned above, that these halachos only apply if a person forgets. Avol B'Meiniach, but if he put it down there on purpose, then Nasa Basas L'Davar Asur, you're stuck with the pillow with the money on it if it was put there intentionally. Amar Rab Barachan Rabbi Yochan Lo Shana L'Tzarach Gufa. Avol L'Tzarach Mekomo Metaltalo V'Odan Alav. Says Rabbi Barachan in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that this is what we said in the case of Shocheach, that you're supposed to shake it off. That's only if you need the pillow, and there's no problem to shake it off on that spot. However, if you need that spot, so shaking it off is not going to help. Think of the case of your little kid left a big rock on Friday on your bed. By simply shaking the pillow, that's not going to solve the problem that you have a rock on your bed. So then in such a case, if you have this big rock on top of the pillow, then you're allowed to move the pillow, and then to shake it off, you can move it outside and shake it off there. Similarly, we learned in our Mishnah, Moi Shalakar, if there's money on top of the pillow, the same halach would apply. Amar Rabbi Yoshe, Shochach Arniki Bechatzer. Rav Oshay now teaches us another halacha. Now that we're talking about money, we talk about another instance which might be a hefsid in regards to money, where, of course, the money is muktza, and we need to find a solution. So, shachach arniki b'chotzer, if he left his wallet outside in the courtyard, meiniach ala kikar otinuk umetaltla, you're allowed to put a piece of a loaf of bread or a child on top of it and move it. Amar Yitzchak, shachach Levena Bechatzer, if he left a brick that has a purpose for him on Shabbos, despite the fact that he could use it for something, nevertheless, the brick is still Muktza, so then in such a case, how is he going to be able to use it for his purpose? He's allowed to put a loaf of bread or a child on top of it to carry it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Shila, Amar Vasi, Pam Achas Shachachu, Daiskia Malaya Maos Bisratia. One time they left a lot of money, which was in a pouch that was made of leather. Ubalu Vishalu Es Rabbi Yochanan. They went and they asked Rabbi Yochanan of Amalan, and he gave this suggestion, Hiniachalea Kikar Tinuk Vitiltala. You could put a child or a loaf on it and carry it. Amrazut Vilchasa Kochal Hanishmaitza. b'shoy cheyach. Marzutra taught us that this halacha would only be acceptable to use this harama, this used trick, if he forgot to carry it. However, in the case of meniach, it would be problematic. Ravashi disagrees. Ravashi amar fil shochech nami. Lo. Ravashi says, even by shochech, it's not acceptable. And here we have a very important rule of the Gemara. We pass like this opinion of Ravashi. V'lo amru kikar otinog, this idea to say, no, you're really not being metaltal davra mukti. Your intention is to metaltal the kikar otinog is elo lemeis bilvad, is only if there is a dead body. Unfortunately, when one of my talmidim suffered a loss on Shabbos, this actually became halacha lemaisa. Abaye monach kofa akifa. Abaye put a spoon on top of a sheave of wheat. Rava monach sakina. Rava put a knife up Aver Yona umetalta and carried it that way. Obviously, that's in disagreement with Ravashi, who limited only to mace. Amar Rav Yosef kama harifa shmeitzah detardiki. How sharp is the teaching of the young ones? They think that they're very sharp, Rashi explains. Emar damar rabban b'shocheyach. The rabban only said, if you forgot, l'chatchila mi amar. Did they say even l'chatchila you do it? Amar Abaye. Abaye responded in his defense. Ilavd adam choshev anah kafa akifa lamali. Hachazin l'mizga alayu. Abaye responded that really I could use this because the sheave could be used to recline on, I really could have used it directly. However, I was afraid that people would think that you're always allowed to move the sheave. So therefore, I put the spoon on top. Amar Rava, Rav also explained along those lines. Anoi lavd adam chashev anoi, I was afraid, since I'm an adam chashev, people will make a mistake. This was the same svar of Abaye, that see that it's, that I'm permitting it, and they'll think it's permissible in all instances, for me as well. Anasakina Eva Yona Lamali. Why? I didn't even need to put the knife on top. Hachazili l'umtza, I could eat that piece of meat. Rava pointed out that he was able to eat raw meat. The Gemara is medayik. Time the chazil umtza. It's only Rava was able to eat the raw meat. Halo chazil umtza l'mo. But if you can't, it'll be a problem. By the way, this is a big shaila in halacha in regards to raw meat being muktza on Shabbos. Maybe in the halacha from the daily daf, we will discuss that. Period. Ask the Mar, Limeimer de Rava k'Rabbi Yehuda svir lei? Does Rava hold like Rabbi Yehuda? V'amar Rava l'shmaya, tavli baravza v'shadi maya l'shunra. But didn't Rava say that you should make for me a duck and throw its intestines to the cat? What do we see, says Rashi, that you're allowed to be metaltal the insides for the cat? That should be a problem in terms of muksa, according to Rava. So why is Rava concerned when it comes to raw meat? Says Gemara Hasam over there, kiyum the misroch daita ilaveim etmal. When it came to the insides, so over there, since it's going to become ruined, so a person already has das on Friday that he's going to have to do something with on Shabbos. Hachanami mistavra de Rava ki Rabbi Yehuda svir lei. It's logical that Rava held like Rabbi Yehuda, and really raw meat would be a problem. To Darish Rava, ishalot tikanis lebeis ha'itzel lita mehen ud shenishbar. A woman is not allowed to go into the machsan, the storage area, that they would use to put wood to take for firewood. Aser lahasika biyamtif. Gufishim hasikim bekelim. We see that he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to make use of those things that aren't usable before Shabbos, that a person didn't have das for. So a woman cannot go, even on Yom Tov, when you're allowed to burn wood, she cannot go to get these stam etzim that are for hasaka, because it's not a utensil. And the only thing that's normally used that she has das beforehand are kalim. But Shivrei Kalim, she's not allowed to, because that's considered nolad. So too, we see Rava's Choshesh for Rabbi Yehuda by Shivrei Kalim, as well as when it comes to raw meat. Be'ezer Hashem, in Halacha from the Daily Daf, we will discuss the Halacha of meat in the freezer on Shabbos. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Kuf Mem Beis in Maseches Shabbos. And now we go on to the Halacha. This was Hashem Yisbarech, the halacha topic from today's daf, Kuf Mem Beis in Maseches Shabbos, is the halacha of
raw meat, frozen meat on Shabbos? Is it muktzah? Is it not? This shaila comes up often. Let's say an individual, for whatever reason, sees that they need to use another area in their fridge or freezer, and in that place is meat. So then in such a case, there is a real shaila over here of moving that meat, because at the end of the day, that meat is muktzah. We saw this on the bottom of Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis, within the opinion of Rava, that we said that Rava said that the reason why he's allowed to move the limb of a yonah is because it's normal for him to chew this meat even though it's raw. According to Rava's position, what will emerge then is that meat that is raw, if it's normal for people to chew that meat, then the halacha would be, one would be allowed to be metalta. That's what seems to emerge as well from the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says that fish that is salted and ready to eat is permissible to be moved. However, if the fish is not salted and is not ready, one is not allowed to move. Before we conclude with the halacha of meat, since we mentioned fish, halacha lemaisa, raw fish, it's very hard to find any side to be matir, moving the raw fish. In fact, Tosos in Dibra Maschil Dag, which is going to be an important reference to us in regards to meat as well, points out that the Gemara seems to differentiate between the two. There on Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that fish that is not salted or prepared is also to be metaltel. Yet, when it comes to meat, the Gemara seems to say on Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph that it'll be permissible. What is the difference between the two? Tosfos suggests the following distinction. That when it comes to raw fish is not even ra'ui leklavim. We know raw fish is extremely dangerous. However, when it comes to raw meat, it was common for dogs to eat raw meat as well. And therefore, since it's ro'i leklavim, then the halacha is one would be allowed to move it. Now, the Ran on Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph goes with our Gemara. Our Gemara points out on Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis that Rava said the reason why the fowl was permissible to him is because, not because his dog could eat it, but because he himself was able to chew it. So here we have a machlokis rishonim. What is the reason that the Gemara seems to say on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph that the halacha is that raw meat is acceptable? Is it because of the reason of the Ran that says that it's chewable? Then that would mean today it's hard to say that that is relevant. How many people chew raw meat today? And therefore, if we would follow the Ran's reasoning, the meat in the freezer, even if one is stuck and there is no other place, there would be a problem of moving it. Of course, you would not have the heter letzarach mekomo, because the heter letzarach mekomo only applies to a kli shemalachto l'isser. This is muktza machmas gufa. Let's take a look and see how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Shin Ches Sif Lamed Aleph, the Mechaber paskins, basar chai, afilu tofel she'enem meluach klal, mutter letaltelo, it's permissible. But here we go. Mishum dechazi l'umtza. Because it's possible to chew on it. That's normal for people to chew on it. If that's so, already some have pointed out that bizman hazeh, the halacha would change. That when it comes to, particularly, the Magen Avraham points out that could very well be that in our Gemara it says that Rava would chew it. That is only a type of fowl that is soft, that it was common in those days. But certainly, Besar Behema wouldn't apply to, and we could add, Bizman Hazeh, where it's not common for people to even chew fowl, raw fowl, in such a case, then it would be a problem vis-a-vis Muktzah. However, there are reasons that one may be lenient. Again, Tosas had given us a different reason. Even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the reason why one is not allowed to move meat, it would be because people do not chew it. And in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, actually, it was chewed by people, and therefore it would be permissible. Tosas had given us a hagdara, a category that does not appear in the Shulchan Aruch. And there are some who go with this category.
The Taz mentions Tosfos' Svara. So according to the Taz, there is another criteria that's at play. And the Mishnah Berurah makes reference to the Shita of the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkaton Kuf Chafei in Simin Shinches, who says, Aval b'taz posik dafil b'sar behema tofel mutter l'taltalo, and presumably what he's working off of the idea is that since it's chazi l'klavim, so then in such a case, it's not going to be mukta. Now, in the Sefer Archa Shabbos, in Perek Tisha Asar, on page Nun Vav in Chelek Vav, Perek Tisha Asar Os, Kuf Yudches Ha'ara Kuf Nun Zayin, he quotes many poskim who say that there's room to be makel, specifically our great poskim, the Chazon Ish, who paskins like the Taz, in Simen Mem Dalet Sifkaton Tez Zayin, so B'Shas HaTchak, there's that line, as well as our Grand Rebbe, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, in a letter in the Ma'ora Shabbos, in Michtav Chafhei Oz Dalet, where he says that at least vis-a-vis foul one could be makel, because with foul, the Farish in our Gemara, we saw that there were some people who chose to chew the foul. As well as Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal suggested that today it is common to give dogs raw meat, and maybe all of the Rishonim would agree with Tosfos, and it could very well be that in just those times it wasn't common to give raw meat to the dogs, although the Trumas Hadeshin is explicit in regards to giving raw meat to Tarnigolis in the Chuvas Trumas Hadeshin. Nevertheless, Rav Shlomo Zalman raises that possibility, as well as in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, it's clear that Rav Shlomo Zalman was willing to rely on the Taz and our Shita of Tosfos. Finally, though, one needs to keep in mind two variables. Number one, when I learned this halacha from Rav Nevinsal, he pointed out that even though the Mishnah Berurah already in Sifkaton Kuf Chav Beis speaks about the fact that some people give it to animals to eat, he said since it's not something that's normal, then the Mishnah Berurah has a hard time relying on that heter. So Rav Nevinsal commented that today, if they don't give it to the dogs, and his assumption was that it wasn't so common to use raw meat to feed the dogs, so then in such a case, even if it's chazi l'klavim, it's not going to be enough. So one would need to look into this phenomenon that the poskim are assuming, that the Taz and Tosfos are assuming, that it's something that's chazui Liklavim. And then, Rabbi Chizkio, this on Shabbos, Parshas when was it? It was, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Adar a couple of weeks ago. When I was with Rabbi Chizkio on Shabbos, he told me a conversation that he had with his father walking home, where Rav Nevinsal Shlita discussed the idea of what happens if there are cities where it's not common for them to have dogs. In such a case, would the fact that Chazi L'Klavim work in areas where it's not common if where there aren't dogs. I told Reb Chizkio that I thought that even if there aren't that many dogs, but at the end of the day, in the round, in the area, then it would be enough. In fact, just this past week, I saw a ferocious dog being led by an Arab through the Arab Shuk. So clearly in Yerushalayim, there are some dogs, literally and figuratively, and this is discussed as well in the Sefer Archa Shabbos in Ha'ara Kuf Nun Zayin, where Reb Shmuel Orbach was asked, the Mechaber is a Talmud of Reb Shmuel Orbach, that he said that there are certain areas where it's not common. On the other hand, in the Tshuva Shevet Halevi and Chelek Gimel Simen Chav Beis, he points out that even in the areas where there tend not to be dogs, on the periphery there are often dogs, are used for guard dogs, etc., etc. So at the end of the day, those are the two open questions. If one is going to rely on Tosfos and the Taz, it needs to be an area where it's common to have dogs that are there, that it's common in that general vicinity. I asked Rav Chizkio, even if it's not common in this small city, how do you measure a city? Do you measure with the tchum and so on? It seems to be in the broader area. If there would be dogs, I thought, when I was discussing with him, I thought that maybe that should be enough. We left it as an open question. But clearly, in areas in America where it's quite common for there to be dogs, if it would be common as well,
The last hurdle would be to be common as well for dogs to eat raw meat. So then in such a case, then raw meat, there's room to be makil. In practical, very practical terms, according to the Taz, based on the Tosas on Kuf Chav Ches Amin Alf, that the Mishnah Brura seems to go with Peshat Hadchak in Sivkot and Kuf Chav Hei, as well as the Chazunish, who is makil in general when it comes to raw meat. So then in such a case, Peshat Hadchak, one can rely on this, on these above heterim, and be allowed to move the meat. Lechatchila, in a case where it's not a Shas Hadchak, there are many reasons to prohibit the Ran's position, as well as a simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch against the Taz. So therefore, lechatchila, one should not move raw meat on Shabbos. In a case of a Shas Hadchak, then one would be allowed to, based on the above svaras, provided that there are dogs in the general vicinity that would eat raw meat. This Beis Hashem concludes the Dvar Halacha from Shabbos Kuf Membeis.